I'm Coach Jake, and this is Coach Bob over here. And we call all the leaders here at Maywood coaches for a very particular reason. It's not to confuse people, but it's because we believe God has called us to be a team, and that everybody has a position on this team, that God wants all of us in this room to be active, not to be spectators, and to be part of this church loving the community. So our role as coaches is to help you find your position and help you thrive at that position. We're starting a new series today on the gift of generosity, and we're going to talk through between now and the beginning, or between now and the new year, about this idea that God wants to bless us with the gift of being generous. A lot of times we think of being blessed by someone else's generosity, but Paul, when he talks about generosity in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he talks about when we help somebody else out physically with their needs, we don't just meet their needs. Sometimes we help their relationship with God, which is pretty incredible. And he says sometimes even they will cry out to God and thank God for us. And he sums up generosity. He says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This idea of Paul is so excited that God helped him be generous. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this month, is how can we become generous people? It's almost like when little kids are at Christmas, like two-year-olds, and you have to teach them how to unwrap presents. They don't really know what they're doing. Our goal this series is to help you guys unwrap that gift of generosity, like help you guys open that up in your life. So we're actually going to start off with something that's very maybe different from gifts we normally think of. I know this is how most of your fridges look right now, full of leftovers, and the last thing you are thinking about is that you have to go to work tomorrow. So I'm sorry that we're going to talk to you about work today. So I know that's really not on anyone's mind. But tomorrow, when you get up, if the weather's anything like today, you get up and it's cold and rainy, you might ask yourself, why am I going to work? Why do I work? Yeah, he's nodding his head. A lot of head nods. It's actually a really good question. Why do we work? And people have some real basic answers to it that I think most of us would probably relate to some of this, at least. The top left one up there, why do I work? Well, it's because I know there's a stack of bills that need to be paid. And if I don't work, I'm going to get thrown out of the place I live eventually. And, you know, all this bad stuff's going to happen. So bills or just finances, providing for yourself and your family is a primary reason people work. It's not a bad thing. It's just, but it is true. This other thing over on the right, top right, says, hello, my name is, and then it has a doctor, or the doctor. If we think about the way we introduce ourselves to other people, I think that's a clue to why do we work. A lot of times when we introduce ourselves, we say hi, and then we say our name. And typically the very first thing that comes out of our mouth after that is either what do you do, or where do you work, or we share, well, I'm a school teacher, or I'm a mechanic, or I'm a doctor. We share our occupation, and we don't say, I work at this place. We say, I am this occupation. Like, we identify ourselves, like our identity is the thing that we do from 9 to 5 or whatever your hours are. So that's interesting. We work to get a sense of identity. A lot of us wouldn't really know what to do with ourselves or who we were if we didn't work, which it's neither good nor bad, maybe, but just an interesting thing. Down here at the bottom left explains a little why we put such a weight on work. Little kids, from the time they're really, really small, we talk to them about, what do you want to be when you grow up? And sometimes if you ask a really little kid this, they'll give you some squirrely, just like strange answers about like what they want to be when they grow up. You know, they want to be heroic, or they want to be strong. But people typically don't say character traits for what they want to be when they grow up. Normally, you know, if I asked Pierce, what do you want to be when you grow up? Pierce probably wouldn't tell me, I really want to be punctual, or I really want to have a good work ethic, or I really want to be frugal. He would probably, I don't know what Pierce wants to be, but he'd probably say, like, I want to be an engineer, or I want to be a football player, or something like that. But it'd be some sort of occupation. And we teach kids from a real little age, like, you need to become a job. And all that talk about work might sound kind of negative, and maybe you're thinking, no, you know what? We need to find work that we love. And that's kind of the bottom picture here of the potter And I think at our highest dreaming, we think, if only I can get myself or at least my kids to work a job that they enjoy, to do something that they love to do. All of these things aren't bad, and I think it covers most of why we work. But I do want to point out that everything I mentioned is selfish. Like, it's all geared towards me. Even the dream job of doing something I love to do. It's not bad to work a job and pay your bills. It's not bad to work a job that you enjoy. That's great if you can do it. But is that all the reason that we should work? We're going to look at a passage in Ephesians that points out something very different. So in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's writing this. And he says, anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands. Paul gives us kind of a biblical definition of work. I think most of us would define work as doing something to get a paycheck. But Paul defines it here a little differently. He says, work, it's doing something useful. It's a little nuance. We don't have time to go into it too much, but if you're an extra credit type of person, somebody that got little gold stars in elementary school, maybe think about a little bit this week, does my work produce something useful? And that's, we're just going to leave that on the wayside. But if you want to do extra credit work, you can, we'll go work on that. That's a good thought. So he says, he defines work as something useful. So if you're taking care of kids, maybe you're not getting a paycheck. You're doing something very useful, though, and that's still work. So when we're talking about work today, we're talking about that you're doing something that produces something useful, that produces something good. Why should we work, though? He goes on to say that they may have something to share with those in need. So, Bob, talk to us about this. Paul's definition here is, how does work empower us to be generous?
White mic. Here we go. You got it. I have tape all covered up. You can't see which one I picked up. You know, I could tell lots of stories about givers at Maywood. And let me just say, I think you are the hardest working church I know, and you are among the most generous I know, maybe the most generous. And there are those of you who have pretty good incomes who are generous, and there are those of you who have pretty low incomes and you're generous. It runs the whole spectrum. And I and Jake, we are honored to be your coaches, your pastors. You know, Wayne Bandy was here at the early service. To say a word, Linda suffers from Parkinson's. She and Wayne fell coming in here today. She looked like she'd been in a fight, had a cut along her eye. They sat right there where Dwayne is all the way through the service and got up and prayed with people. And I went up to Linda. She's about this big. I put my arm around her, and what a courageous lady. We have people like that all over the place, and I'm so thankful for that. I could tell literally stories from now until 4 or 5 o'clock about you all and about your generosity. And I'll not tell all those stories, but I'm going to underscore something that Neil Anderson said about Josh on Tuesday. And Neil talked about it. If you were here, you already know the story. If you weren't, I'm going to tell the story. He told about how he'd just gotten out of prison and he needed a job and he needed to pay some bills. It's crazy how many bills you have to pay after you get out of prison, but our system works that way. Nevertheless, he needed a job and went to work with Josh, and instead of getting this amount of money, he got this amount of money for a day's or a couple of days' worth of work, and was totally blessed by his influence. And let me just say, as I tell this story, some of these stories make you tear up, you have to blow your nose, and your heart gets heavy. Keep on telling them, okay, because he's got some good ones. One of the stories I liked from Josh was he was driving down 24 Highway in his school district truck. That was when he was working for them. And there was a guy walking down the street without his shoes on. And he just pulled up the truck right in front of the guy. And you can imagine this guy in a truck, and he gets out, and he's not exactly the smallest guy on earth. And he looks a little freaky at times. And here he comes walking up on you. What do you think that guy was thinking? Well, Josh and I talked about what he thought he was thinking. What did he do? He just kicked off his shoes and handed them to him and said, here, take these shoes. And then he went home and got some. I'm looking at his brother John. He also liked the boots you gave him, John. John got boots, gave him boots, you know. It's a good deal all the way around. Long story short, how do you do that sort of stuff? And this is the point of this passage, all right? They did something useful with their life, and they brought in money, so they were able to give it. And I'm looking at a crowd of folks, and some of you all work pretty good-paying jobs, and some of you work some pretty low-paying jobs. And I don't find out what people give at church. That's not my job. But every so often, it is my job to write thank you notes. And I find out, and it literally humbles me every time, how you all give. But how do you give? You give because you go to work. And you maybe do a job that you like. I listened to a job consultant one time said 85% of people don't like their job. So if you're in that 85% that don't like your job, you still go to work, good for you. It's huge. So long story short is, go to work, and then give yourself the gift of generosity. Just really quick, Jake, and I'll hand this back to you. A lot of us think, how can I get other people to love me? And what we don't know is if we will love other people, then that magic key goes in the lock and the door opens and we become people who love and people who love us. Same thing's true about giving. The giver becomes a receiver. As you give, it does something to your heart. It changes you. And yet, in order to give, back to it, you got to go to work. All right, Jake?
Well, and Bob kind of summed up, or really our whole point today is summed up right there, that we work so that we can be generous. It powers our generosity. We could end the sermon really early, and maybe some people will be like, oh, yes, maybe that's going to happen. But I'm sorry that it's not going to happen.
It's Jake's fault. I'm sorry. I was voting to quit right now.
It is my fault. And the reason is that it's pretty hard to go into work every day and to work really hard and to stay generous. Because, you see, when you work really hard at a job and you start earning some things, this attitude, as silly as it looks, can creep into your heart. If it's mine, I earned it. You can't have it. The problem with that attitude, or to debug that attitude, or get rid of that attitude, we can look to the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, God is talking through Moses to a group of people that God is about to bless with a great big land that's really wonderful. And these people are really poor when Moses is talking to them, and they've had a hard life, but they're about to go to the easy life. They're about to have a great job opportunity. And this, Moses tells them, when you get to an easier spot in life and you're working really hard and suddenly everything around you is going right and you've got lots of money and you've got lots of everything great, this is what Moses' advice to them is. He says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. Bob, this is a little harder question, but how does this attitude, have you ever had that get in the way of your generosity?
Yeah, this is, Jake writes the sermons and tells me my job, so he gives me the hard stuff to talk about. If you all get a chance to push him down the steps, I'd appreciate it. This is a tough one. This is really hard. And I had to look into my own heart a little bit to try to come up with an answer for this. And so let me just say that I've had a very easy life, particularly comparative to a lot of people here. I am the only non-attorney in four generations in my family, for example, okay? And so I grew up with parents that we had dinner at night together, and I heard my dad talk about work, and my dad was a workaholic. I am one of those. My brother's one of those. My dad worked from 9 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock at night, many nights every week. And at the dinner table, we heard about you got to be successful, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. And I hated that stuff. I really did. It was hard on me to hear, you must be a success. But I realized later in life, and it was quite a bit later in life, that came out of fear. My parents came out of the Depression. My mom, when she was, you know, 70 years old, was still washing out Ziploc bags and hanging them up to dry to use them again, okay? They didn't have much. When they got married in 1940, They had $100 between the two of them. And so life was not easy for them. And they were fearful for their boys that we wouldn't be able to pay our bills. And so I was working before I was 10 years old, mowing grass, $2 a yard. I had a real job when I was 16 years old, and I was putting money in a bank, and my dad was telling me about investments, and they've all paid off for me down the road. And so I'm very grateful for that. We've been able to do some stuff because of home training coming up. It dawned on me, I was probably in my 60s when I realized this, that just sitting around the dinner table with my mom and dad was like going to a college class and learning some things. Benefits, benefits, benefits. I'm one of the very few people sitting in this building today that can say the story that I just said. There's a few of us that can, but most of us have other stories to tell. And they're not nearly as easy to tell as the one I've just told. Now, here's what's really dangerous for me, not for you, but for me. It's for me, who's had all of this privilege, to look down my nose at some of you or people like you. Can I put it like that? Boy, excuse me if I have. All right? And to say, well, how come you don't do better? I'm so glad I don't ever say that out of my mouth. But sometimes my head thinks that. Well, that's really lame. Why are you doing that? Why aren't you going to work? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you know, y'all, can y'all, Sunday? So for people like me, we need to hear pride is really ugly. And if I look at this verse, when I say to myself and my pride, my power, you got to be kidding me. It wasn't my power. I just chose the right parents, okay? My power, the strength of my hands. You know, I have had so many breaks. So for me to be proud and look down my nose at anybody is really wrong. Now, I'm going to take this another step, and I may offend everybody before I'm through, Jake, okay?
You go for it.
You all just need to get the heat off of me. Jake gave me the question, all right? So the other deal is I have, like my dad, fear for people. I'm going to tell y'all, the system in America is broken. There is nobody who is going to help you, all right? As I look down the road, there is not going to be a check in the mail for anybody from our government one of these days, all right? The Community Services League, I sat in there one day with the director of CSL who cried over the lack of funds that they had. There is no money out there to help you. And so I say this to people in my office ever so often who have needs, and I don't scream, but I get close to it. There is nobody to help you but yourself. At the end of the day, if you don't help yourself, it isn't going to happen. And so for guys like me who had a gravy train life, I need to look at this from pride. And then the other flip of that deal is what we talked about work. You know, we really do as a humanity. We've got to work. I'm going to just go ahead and stop preaching and go to meddling for a second. We have to live clean and sober and do the next right thing every day, and it will pay off for you. And I could, again, I'm not going to name names, but I could name some names in here of people who've been doing that for the last years, and they've got stuff, and they've got a life, and they're happy, and they're able to give, and you can do it too. All right, sermon's over, and back to you, Jake. Yeah. Don't ask me those kind of questions again.
Okay, I've learned my lesson. What Bob is saying is really true. And there are other passages in the Bible about work. I mean, the Bible shoots really straight. If you don't work, you don't deserve to eat if you've got an able body. I mean, at one point, you know, we shouldn't just be giving charity to people that just out of laziness are in the problems they're in. The problem we have, though, a lot of times, is we pridefully look at ourselves and say, look what a good worker I am. And then we, with a judgmental attitude, look at someone else and say, their needs aren't real. Their needs aren't important. And I'm all for if you meet somebody that is just, you know, if they've been living at your house for months and don't have a job and they're an able-bodied adult, if you want to get, you know, tough love with them like that, that's okay. But the reality is if you are praying and asking God, where is a need that I could help that's legitimate, I can tell you there are a lot of legitimate needs around us. Like, none of us have an excuse of like, oh, I don't know anybody that really has a need. if you're praying and asking, God will put people in your path that have legitimate needs to help. So here's the danger. If we have a successful job, if we do work hard, we still can fall into this trap that I did it all on my own. Here's what God says to that trap. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. God's the one who made our bodies, who made our minds. God's the one who gave us parents. God's the one who gave everything that we have, really, to us. He's the one that makes water fall from the sky, makes food grow up from the ground. All that we have is because we've used what God's given us. We always stand on His shoulders. That's the only place that we can stand. So if you have this attitude of God's given me a job, and God's given me the ability to work, and God's given me the ability to produce good things, it's a lot easier to be open-handed with what God's given you than just I earned it. Now, Bob's been somewhat heavy-hitting already, and I hate to be more heavy-hitting, and I hope I don't lay guilt on us. But I do think we are in a special spot. Okay, so we live in Independence, most of us do. Independence is not rich for our surrounding area. Okay, there's a lot of people who don't want to live in Western Independence, you know. There's a lot of people who, you know, I don't know, it's crazy. So people look down maybe on this area sometimes, and we might have an attitude of feeling like we're not the rich guys. And maybe have this attitude of we've picked ourselves up by our bootstraps, and what we have, we've worked for. And I do agree that there are a lot of people in this room that work a lot harder than me. But I want to tell us a story from my life that really changed the way I thought about things. So I lived in Mexico for a little while, and I got to meet a lot of really great people. I got to meet this guy, Victor. Victor's not, honestly, one of the best people I've ever met. He's made some bad choices in his life. But Victor told me a story that I think is important for us to hear today. And I'm going to tell it in kind of a depressed mode, because it's a sad story to me. Victor told me with like an upbeat, thankful attitude, which I just can't reproduce. So Victor had been out of work for a while. He's got four kids. He's got a wife. She's working. They're trying to afford to keep their kids in school, because you have to pay for even little kids to go to school in Mexico. And, you know, they're not living an elaborate lifestyle. They've got a little concrete house, no air conditioning, no heating. They don't have a car. They're living about like average lifestyle for people in Mexico, average lifestyle for people in the whole world, actually. You guys maybe have seen the little memes or something if you're on the internet with like first world problems, you know, when your iPhone breaks or something. Victor's problems are second world problems, okay? Even as I tell the story, it gets a lot worse than this in some parts of the world. Like, he's not poorest of the poor. But Victor's problem is not that his kids are starving. It's that his kids might have to drop out of school because there's not enough money. So that's the sort of stuff he's facing. And I hadn't seen him for a few weeks. And when I got to see him again, I asked him about the job stuff. And he was very thankful that he had a job. And he started to tell me about it. This new job he was working, you know, typical job in Mexico for the guys I was around was you work 6 days a week. You work 10-hour shifts or longer. So, you know, everybody's working 60, 70 hours a week. People are making typically between $100 and $200 a week. So Victor's probably making less than $200 as he does this job. The factory that he was working at made coloring powder for cement so that you could have like a concrete floor that was a color. So they're mixing these big vats of chemical, you know, much bigger than a person, and he's got him and two other guys stirring this vat of chemicals. And there are not the safety rules or regulations in Mexico that there are here. So, like, they don't have any safety gear on whatsoever. And the vat apparently is not super stable. So that day at work, the day that I'm talking to him, the vat had spilled over while they were stirring it. It had horribly burnt one of the other guy's arms to where, like, he was never going to be able to use his arm again. Victor's telling me this whole story. And not once does he talk about, like, he's quitting the job. Not once does he talk about even that he's complaining about the safety conditions. At the end of it, he's still talking about being thankful for the job. And, like, he goes back the next day and, like, he stayed at that job. Like, that was a good job for Victor. So, like, I can't stand in this room. I know a lot of you guys personally. I can't stand in this room and say it's hard for me to say, like, oh, don't take what you have as you've earned it, because I know a lot of you work harder than I do. I mean, I'm just going to throw that out there. So, but here's a hard question I had to face, and I still face when I think about Victor, is can I ever say that, like, I work harder than Victor? Or, like, that any of us in this room work harder than Victor? Like, I'm not saying that we should make less than $200 a week. I'm not pushing that on you guys. I don't want you to feel guilty. But when you look at your life and you have a vehicle and you have your kids can go to school, those are good things. Everybody should have that here in Independence. But that verse we read in Deuteronomy is real. That, like, none of us have what we have just because we worked hard. Because I've met a lot of Mexicans who work really, really hard and who can't afford a car and who can't afford a lot of stuff that we just expect. And so as much as on one hand you have earned what you have, like there's a lot of hardworking people here, none of us can just hold it out and say it was all on my own power. All of us were blessed in some way to be able to have the things that we have. The crazy thing about Victor is, like, so he was still thankful for that job. And what if you were thankful for your job? I know some people work really crummy jobs, but the fact that we can have jobs here where there is safety equipment and where we're not going to get maimed probably at work, like, that's a really good thing. And where we have the opportunity to provide for our family, and honestly, we have the opportunity to provide for other people too. It's pretty easy in America to get a full-time job and to be able to feed yourself and to be able to feed your family and to still have some left over to help somebody else out in need. Like, it's not as hard as it was in Mexico. And like I said, Mexico is like middle class for the world. It's not like, it gets a lot worse in other countries. So here's our takeaway for today. We've got these little 3 points. You can pick your favorite and do that. That would be great. So the first one, the little starting point, some of us in here don't have jobs and should have jobs. And maybe that's where you start, saying, God, I want to get a job, but I don't just want to get it for myself. I want to get it so I can help some other people too. And maybe you start changing your focus. You start praying, God, help me get a job so I can help somebody else. Take care of myself and help somebody else. Some of you might need to be like this lady on the right here. Every morning, get up and just start your day by saying, God, I thank you that I can go to work. And help me to be able to help somebody else today. Thank you that you've given me the strength to work. Help me to see who I need to help with that strength. Now, those two are really big things, going and getting a job if you don't have one, and thanking God if you do have one. But if we end at that spot, I'm going to be straight and say, like, we've still failed to live up to the Ephesians verse. The Ephesians verse said, we shouldn't steal, we should work, and we should share with someone in need. So yes, you should take care of your family, like that goes without saying. And yes, you should take care of yourself. But this last little part, this lady's, I'd have to ask Debbie Anderson what exactly she's making, but this lady's doing some sort of knitting. This week, you need to work and produce something that you share with someone in need. That's when you get the success for this week. That's when you've lived up to Ephesians 4:28. And maybe, you know, if Ernie goes and maybe he doesn't have to give money to somebody, maybe Ernie does some tree trimming for somebody that has a real need. And that's the way that he uses the strength that God's given him to help somebody else. Or maybe somebody here makes something for somebody else. Or maybe you take some of your paycheck and you say, you know what, this hour of my day, I'm working for somebody else. I'm going to use this money to help somebody else in need. And if you start every morning, you say, God, I thank you that I can work, and God, show me a person to help, God will show you a good person to help. You know, there's a lot of con artists out there. There's lazy people out there that maybe we're not going to help, we're just going to enable. But if you start asking God, God, put somebody in my path that needs help, you'll be like Josh Monk and drive by somebody without shoes. The question is, will you be like Josh Monk and stop and give them your shoes? We're going to have some people down front ready to pray. The worship team's coming up. We call this our time of response because this is the time when you say, God, I heard what you said, and I'm going to respond. And the reason we pray is because sometimes it's hard to respond. Sometimes we need to say, God, I need your help. And so if you guys will stand, we're going to pray, and then we're going to respond to God. God, I thank you for who you are. Jesus, I thank you that you gave us hope. Jesus, help us this week to be thankful for our work. Help us this week to be generous with those in need. So, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.